I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into this word, all right? Can we say amen for the word of God?
Amen.
That's good. All right, God, I thank you so much. Thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to be gathered together as one body, bringing you glory and honor and praise, God. God, we thank you that while we're doing this, we don't have any concern about our safety or anybody trying to persecute us, but that we get to do this freely. And I pray that we would take full advantage of what we have here, God. We pray for your word, that we would receive it well, Father God. God, that our hearts and our minds will be open, Father God, to hear and see your spirit move this morning, God. And I pray that I would not communicate anything that is not of your spirit. In Jesus' name, and everybody say,
amen.
Come on now. All right. I encourage taking notes. So if you got your notebook or your phone or whatever it is, take some notes. Study shows that if you write it down or if you jot it down, you remember it better. And we want to do more than just sit in a church service and hear the word of God. We want to retain it. We wanted to let it soak in so that it can produce a fruit in our lives that transform our lives and the lives of those around us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so today, this morning, my title is called Seeing God. Seeing God, okay? How many of you want to see God in your life? How many of you want to see more of God in your life? Come on now. We're living in a world that really does scratch and claw for every ounce of our attention. And with this world that we live in, it can be so easy to miss God and where he is in our lives. And so today, I'm a teacher at heart, and so I'm going to give some practicals that we can take home with us, some notes that you can take down, and some things that we can apply on how we can make sure that we are seeing God, not just in the big moments, but on the everyday occasion. Are y'all okay with that?
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. So if we can go back to the very beginning, the original intent of God's desire for creating us was for relationship. His entire purpose of creating us was so that we could be in relationship with him and that we could rule with him on the earth. Now, obviously, sin comes in with Adam and Eve, and there's this separation that happens, right? There's this distance that's put in between us because of sin nature. However, this is the original intent of God's desire for creating all of us. And thank God that he sent Jesus. The very Jesus and the very blood that we were just singing about at the top of our lungs has covered us and created an opportunity, or what the Bible says, he's made a way for us to get back to the original intent of his desire for us to be in relationship with him. And you see this all throughout scripture. And I got a couple here in the Old Testament. I'm gonna just reference them. In Genesis 3, you see God walks with Adam in the cool of the day. It doesn't say that his aura is there. It says that he literally is walking with Adam in the cool of the day. In Genesis 32, you see a story about Jacob who sees God face to face. Could you imagine seeing God face to face, right? In Exodus 33, we see that God gives Abraham, right? Abraham. God gives Abraham a glimpse of his glory. What an amazing God that we serve, that, like David was saying, this God who knows all, sees all, created all, yet and still wants to be in an individual relationship with each and every one of us. What a good God we serve. And then we also see Jesus, Christ himself, came to the earth. Jesus could have handled the situation in heaven. God could have spoke a thing and it would have changed, right? But Jesus decided, no, I need to go to the earth. Walk among them, live among them, right? And we see Jesus come and walk among the earth, amongst us as men. And there is no other religion that has a God like ours that invites us into a relationship with him the way that our God does. He really is the one true and living God. And this is the God that we get not have to be, we get to be in relationship with him, and that is what he desires. And so from the very beginning, we see that God wants to be in our everyday life.
Amen.
These weren't just big moments, right? In Genesis 3, when it talks about Adam walking with God in the cool of the day, this was a routine thing. Even as far as when they did sin, they went and hid, and God did what he normally did. He came down in the cool of the day to walk with them, and he had to go find them. He had to call their name out because they were separated from him, right? And so if we know that God wants to show himself to us, we must know what to look for. You will always miss something that you don't know what, if you don't know what you're looking for. Every single time. And so we got to ask ourselves, well, how does God reveal himself to us? On a practical level, right? Outside of all the Christianese and the Christian lingo, what does it mean practically for me when God says that he wants me to be in a relationship and he wants to show himself to me? Well, the very first one, you can write this down, it's in creation. God shows us himself in creation. We see this in Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 20, it says this: they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so that they have no excuse for not knowing God. Creation declares the goodness and the glory of God. And if you feel like you aren't seeing him in your life, well, just look around you. And if I can be honest, even in this moment right now, there is nothing that is holding this building up, that this building was constructed out of, that God did not create. He just gave man the creativity and the wisdom on how to mold it and repurpose it, but he created it all. You want to see God in your life? Look around. I love sunsets and sunrises and beaches. I'm from North Carolina, so I love trees, fields of them. Come on now. That's right. We got real trees out there. All of it declares the goodness and the glory of God. You want to see God in your life? Look around. Get your face out of your phone, out of the news, and out of somebody else's face, and just look around. God really is everywhere and in everything. The earth, the sky, the trees, the water, the fishes, the animals. He's in it all. Creation declares the glory of God. Our next scripture is Psalms chapter 19. We're going to read verse 1 through 4. Psalms 19, 1 through 4. It says this: the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet, their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. Not gonna lie, that sounded like a poem. That was good. Holy Spirit inspired. Creation declares the glory of God. The second way that we can see God on an everyday basis in our lives is in our hearts. And it's found in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 through 15. It says this: even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it. Even without having heard it, they demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. So this idea of a conscience was not man-made. My kids from 3 years old know when they're doing something wrong. They don't have to ask me, Daddy, is this wrong? They know, and they can tell in their face when they do it, and then they look at you like, oops. They know. From the very beginning of our being, it's written on our hearts that God is with us and that he created us and that he's inside of us. He desires to reside there and live there. And it even goes as far as to say our conscience, it either accuses us, meaning it lets us know that we've done something wrong, or it tells us that when we're doing something right. Now, don't get me wrong. If you do the wrong thing too many times, eventually your conscience is going to go silent. And you're going to think the wrong thing is the right thing. So praise God for the Holy Spirit, right? Acts chapter 17, verse 27 says this. It says that his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. God has placed this desire in our heart to know him, to chase after him, to seek after him. And the world does a great job at a very young age getting us distracted. Putting things in front of our face that's going to draw us away from him. That's going to pull us in a different direction. That desire that we have, it's from God for God. But the world perverts it. The world takes it and it abuses us and it uses us and it gets us hooked. And that's why it's so hard that when we come to Christ a year later, it's hard to break off those ties and separate ourselves from the world and kill our flesh. Because we've allowed it to be in the world and of the world for so long. When that desire in our hearts, that longing for wholeness, that longing for something to fill us was never meant for the world to be there. It was a seat created for God to sit on the throne of our hearts. He wants to be there. That longing is him letting you know, like, no, I'm with you. Every single day, I'm with you. The third way that we see God in our lives every single day is through Jesus. How many of you brought your Bibles this morning? Raise them up in the air if you brought your Bible with you. If you got it on your phone, raise that up too. Amen. Through the life of Jesus, we see God. John chapter 1, verse 18 says this: no one has ever seen God but the unique one, who is himself God and is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. Jesus has revealed God to us. Read your word. Look at the life of Jesus. You want to see God? Look at the life of Jesus. Look at how he loved. Look how compassionate he was. Well, it's the same for you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says this: Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Jesus points to God. Jesus is the doorway to God. Jesus is the visible of the invisible God. My last scripture on this one is John chapter 14, verse 9. John 14, 9, it says just, Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you?" If you have seen God move in your life, Jesus provide for you in your life, even salvation alone, then you've seen God. Another way he shows himself to us is through his word. Through the word of God. John chapter 5, 39 and verse 40. John chapter 5, verse 39 through 40 says, "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me." This is Jesus talking. "But the scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life." You read the scriptures looking for antidotes for our situations. We read the scriptures looking for solutions to whatever it is that we got going on at the time. However, we forgot that the scriptures are declaring about Jesus. So why not just go to Jesus? Now, I get it, right? John chapter 1 tells us that the word is God. So I'm not saying don't read your word. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? But what I'm saying is that your solution is often found in your relationship with God, not in the routine of just reading your word. Anybody can read the Bible. There's plenty of people of other religions who read the Bible and honestly know it better than we do, for the sake of arguing. Anybody can read a Bible, but only a select few are willing to endure this challenge of having a relationship with him. You want to see the fruit of the word of God in your life? Well, then you got to have a relationship with the one who is the word. You want to see God in your life, get into your word and recognize, like the Bible said earlier when we're talking about creation, that he's everywhere, in everything. The other way, So we see it in creation, we see it in our hearts, we see it through the life of Jesus, and we see it in our word. So the other question we got to ask is, what is it that enables us to see God, right? Because he's showing himself, he's revealing himself every single day. Every single day we wake up, he's saying, hey, I'm right here, come here. All you have to do is come to me. You're broken, you're hurting, somebody abused you, I'm right here. Oh, you're happy, you just had a great blessing, come and share it with me. I'm right here. People let you down, that's okay, I'm right here. Feels like the rug was pulled out from under you, that's cool, I'm right here. I'll never let you down. Open up your eyes, I'm right here. Forget what's going on in the world, I'm right here. Yes, the world looks dark, but I'm still good. I'm right here. Well, how do we make sure or ensure that we are able to see God when he's showing himself to us? The first is a pure heart. We have to have a pure heart. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. It is impossible for us to see God clearly if our hearts are not pure. Because everything that we see is from an impure lens. And so when we're going through tough situations, it's easy to blame God because our hearts aren't pure. When we're going through tough times, it's easy to point the finger at other people because our hearts aren't pure. And oftentimes it's those people that God sent to be a blessing to us and encourage us and edify us in the midst of the strong, in the midst of the struggle. So how do we get a pure heart? We get as close to God as we possibly can. Because the truth is that darkness really cannot exist in the light. As soon as you turn the lights on in your house, darkness flees. There's not a battle between light and darkness. As soon as the lights come on, darkness has to go. There's no question about it. There's no polite way of asking darkness to get out. Light is here, darkness leaves. You want to have a pure heart, get as close to God as you possibly can. You want to grow in that thing, get as close to him as you possibly can. And the second is that you allow God to come into your heart and do something that only he can do. Nobody in this room has the capability or the possibility or the authority to save anyone. We don't have that power. We just get to be a part of it. God uses us to be a part of his kingdom when we're sowing seeds and watering seeds, but he's the one that transforms hearts. He's the one, as in Ezekiel 36 says, that can take a stony heart and replace it with one of flesh. A hardened, pride-ridden heart, unwilling to change and be transformed by the word of God. He's the only one that can change that. Not us. You want a pure heart? Let God do the work. And I don't know if you're a picture person, but I can only imagine how painful and uncomfortable it is for somebody to take out something from the inside of you and then replace it with something else. That's a traumatic experience. People have to recover for months after surgeries like that. So it's not going to be comfortable is what I'm saying. If you're looking for comfortability, you're in the wrong relationship. You really are. If you're looking for something that's going to make you feel good, you're in the wrong relationship. This is work, but I promise you it's worth it. Being able to see God on the daily is worth it. It's worth doing the work to make sure that my heart is pure when I come before a holy God who said that despite my sin issues, you are still welcome in my presence. It's worth the work. The other way that we are able to see God or make sure that we can see God is make sure that we're seeking after him wholeheartedly. We see this in Jeremiah 29, verse 13. It says that if you look for me wholeheartedly, everybody say wholeheartedly, then you will find me. I don't know a person in any marriage right now that won somebody over by being half-hearted. When I was dating my wife, I had to pursue her wholeheartedly. You ain't lying. I had to pursue her wholeheartedly. In this relationship with a jealous God that we serve, we have to pursue him with everything that's on the inside of us. We have to pursue him wholeheartedly. There's no halfway doing this thing. In Revelation, in other scriptures, he tells us that you have to choose either be hot or be cold. There is no gray area. There is no fence that you can walk on. We ain't got that good of a balance. You pick. I'll be here, is what God says, but you choose. I want you here, but you have to choose it, and you have to choose it every single day. And if I can be a little bit more vulnerable, honest, it's every moment of every day. Because I can wake up on 100, get in my word, pray, and by halfway through the day, I don't know what happened. You know, all that preparation for the day is out the door now. Too many people done cut me off with my kids in the back seat, trying to have some self-control. Family members got stuff going on, and I take it on. We got to serve him wholeheartedly. We got to give him everything. The third way is that we have to live a holy lifestyle and be at peace with everyone. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see God. Yeah, that's a little hard, huh? How many of you know it's hard to stay holy? Yeah. And I ain't even talking about being out in the world. I'm just talking about being me, myself. Sitting in a room, it can be hard to stay holy. And then you throw the world on top of that and the temptations on top of that and the distractions on top of that. So I'm going to say it again. Praise God for the Holy Spirit who makes us holy and who keeps us holy as long as we are in relationship with him. As long as we are seeking him daily with all of our hearts. Thank God that it is not our responsibility to make us holy. It would be absolutely impossible. But the good God that we serve, he made a way for us to be holy through the blood of his son. But I also don't want to overlook that first part either. It's also living at peace with everyone. And I'm going to say this. This does not mean that you are going to agree with everyone. That's not peace. That's not peace at all. That's called conforming. You can be at peace with everyone and still stand on the truth of the Word of God. You really can. It's possible. We saw Jesus do it. It's possible. Be at peace as long as it's up to you. That means that if you have to be the one to make the first move, well, then be the first one. For the sake of seeing God in your life and prayerfully in the life of the person that you may have something against or the people group or whatever it is that you want to call it. Live at peace. Be the peacemaker. Standing on truth and not our personal truths. Standing on the truth of the Word of God as believers. Amen? So this is actually where I'm going to land. It's pretty quick. Got to get you out of here on time. So I don't get a text message from Pastor Tom. Nah. But this is where I'm going to land. The truth is that we don't need to go into what keeps us from seeing God. Because I was going to go in that direction. What keeps us from seeing God. But the truth is that I really want to encourage you to do everything that you have to do to make sure that you are seeing God in your everyday life. Because the world wants your attention. The world wants you distracted. Let me actually use another word. Satan wants you distracted. Because I think if I say the world, sometimes we often think about people. But our battle really is not against flesh and blood. There is nobody out there that can destroy my soul. They may can harm my body, sure. And I'm not saying that somebody come punch me in the face today, I'm not going to respond. But what I am saying is that they cannot destroy my soul. Satan wants us as distracted as possible because he knows that if he just gets us a little bit distracted, he gets us a little bit off course. The longer we stay off course, the farther away we get from God. The farther away we get from God, the more we feel like he's not for us, he's against us, he doesn't want anything to do with us, he's not showing himself, he's not revealing himself to us when it was our decision to walk away from him. And so I want to encourage you, I really do. You want to see God in your life? Look around. Go outside at night if you're not in the city, you know, lights. And look at the stars. Take a day trip to the beach. Look at the sand. The waves that stop exactly where he tells them to. Look at a sunrise. How beautiful it is and how bad we try to emulate it or copy it in paintings that we cannot. You want to see God? Look at your neighbor. Who was created by God, knitted together in their mother's womb, intentionally by a creative God. You want to see God in your life? Get into your word. You won't recognize where he's showing up if you don't know how he chooses to show up. You won't recognize that in the valley, he's still there if you don't know that he's the God of the valleys too. And that everything in that valley, he created it, which means that he has authority over it. You want to see more of God in your life. You got to serve him wholeheartedly. Give him everything. Even the stuff that is hard to let go of. The stuff that you've allowed to become a part of your identity now. This is just who I am. Serve him. Love him. Wholeheartedly. Allow him to come in there and make your heart pure. Uprooting the things that we can't take out ourselves. Let him do the work that he desires to do. Because he desires for us to have a pure heart. He desires for us to serve him wholeheartedly. We gotta allow him in there. And lastly, if you wanna see God, get as close to him as you possibly can. Whatever it takes. Pastor Tom preached a message a couple weeks ago talking about getting rid of all of our distractions. What do we allow in our lives? Do whatever it takes to get as close to God. Because the truth is that we're getting closer and closer to Jesus' return. We really are. The message of the gospel doesn't just stop at his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. Praise God for it. But he's returning one day. For his sons and his daughters. And I pray that when that day's come that I can look across and I can say, hey, I went to church with that person. I know they're on fire. I pray that I can say, you know what? I did community with that person. I went out into the streets with this person. I know they love the Lord God with all of their heart, with all of their mind, with all of their soul, with all of their strength. And that we get to celebrate in heaven the goodness of God. I pray. So my encouragement to you today is this: do whatever it is that you got to do to get as close to God as possible. Throw your phone away. Separate yourself from that group of people. Get into your word. I can't say it enough. Get into your word. Spend some time in prayer. Start with 5 minutes. I don't care. You do 5 minutes long enough, 5 minutes is not going to feel like enough time. Whatever it takes, do it to get as close to God as possible. And so I'm going to take this opportunity for everybody to stand. Going to take this opportunity to ask that if you have not given Jesus Christ your life, you have not surrendered to his authority, his lordship, and his will, you have not begun your relationship with him, or maybe you walked away from your relationship and you're ready to come back, I'm going to ask that you just raise your hand. Just slip your hand up. I'm not going to make you come to the front. Thank you. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. So I'm going to pray two prayers. The first is for those who decided to give their life to Christ. And the second is over each of every one of us as believers. And for this first prayer, I'm going to ask that you repeat it with me, everyone. And we say this all the time. These words are just words unless they mean something to you. If you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, it has to mean something to you. So repeat after me. Jesus, I acknowledge you as Lord. And today, I surrender my life to you, giving you full authority over my life. And I pray that you are glorified through the life that I live. Now, before I get into the second one, I'm going to ask that. Can we just celebrate that real quick? We had a couple hands go up. Can we celebrate what God has done in this place? How good God is. Come on now. There is a party going on in heaven right now, and we get to be a part of it. Man, what a blessing it is to be at church today. I'm going to pray this last prayer, and I'm going to hand it over to Christian. God, I thank you so much for each and every person in this building today. And not just in this space, even the kids' classrooms, God. We thank you so much that you really are a good God who desires to be in a relationship with us, God. God, and I pray that as a people, as a body, Father God, that we would do whatever it is and whatever it takes to be as close to you as we possibly can. God, we know that the only separation that happens between you and I is the distance that I put there. And so I pray, God, that we would truly do whatever it takes, forsake whatever it takes, let go of whatever it takes, allow you to take out whatever it takes for us to be as close to you as possible. In Jesus' holy and mighty name. Amen.
Hey, yo, this is Pastor Tommy. I just want to say thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I hope that sermon encouraged you. I hope that last ending prayer meant something for you. I hope that you are being transformed. I hope you are growing. I hope you're choosing God's dream in your life over your own. Real quick, I just want to encourage you. If you don't have a church, I want you to find a local church. There is something really important in the Bible that says to encourage one another, to do good, to love one another, and not forsake the fellowship. I just want to encourage you. Find a church. If you want to come to the Atlanta Dream Center, or maybe you want to participate by giving, I want you to go to www.atlantadreamcenter.com. On our website, you can find our location, you can give, and you can see what upcoming events are going on. Listen, God bless you. Again, thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope to see you in church soon. Be blessed.